true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Let's land into the fecal matter that is the moment. Let's plant flowers in the feces of the dirt of this field.
I'm sorry to hear that it's like that for you right now.
Let's talk about that. I don't have a problem with things being shitty. Like when people go like, oh, I'm sorry. Wow. I'm always like, I'm not.
No, okay.
I'm kind of like, sometimes a moment isn't your favorite moment. That's all right.
Right.
I guess there's a way that this is about you, but not about you. Like whenever that happens, when people go, God, I'm really sorry you're having that experience. I'm like a little like, why? It feels like judgment cloaked in politeness. Whereas like, and that may not be what's going on for you. It just lands that way for me where I'm like, I'm just having a moment. I think too, that's that eight thing of the thing with the eights. Enneagram, we're talking, everybody. There's this thing I read in, his name is Christopher Hewitt's book called The Sacred Enneagram, where he talks about the eight needs to discharge all the time. And it's constantly going like, fuck, or like, ah, or things are terrible. And then milliseconds later, it's like, oh, okay, hi.
Yeah, you're clear.
Whereas other, and this happens all the time, this is not just you. This is like, this is obviously about me because it happens all over my life. But I'm not like everything's terrible and it has been forever and it's gonna be in 4 seconds. I'm like, fuck everything. Okay, good to go. How are you? Like, it's like that for me.
Yeah, and I think it is different in the sense that I don't want to put a soft voice on it, but for me, saying that is just like an acknowledgement of, wow, what I was actually saying was, oh, that's your experience of this moment. Interesting, because that is not my experience of this moment. I have a contrasting experience.
Mm-hmm. Which feels like judgment. Like you're going like, I'm having this experience.
No, you just judge your moment, though, by saying, oh, my God, this minute, it's full of you literally called it shit. So you laid
but
the
judgment. But that's not judgment. That was my feelings. I was like frustrated.
Well, okay, well, then I will say that is definitely your lens that it sounds like judgment to you.
I'm owning that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm owning that.
Yeah, because that's why I'm telling you my feelings of the moment.
So you're saying that when you go, wow, that's not my experience of the moment, there's no judgment in that?
Was that my tone?
Yes.
No, my tone was this. Oh, that's not my experience of the moment.
Okay.
I'm sorry that that's yours.
Okay, I'm just simply talking about, I hear that. That makes sense to me. I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when people say, I'm sorry that's your experience of the moment.
Right.
I'm always like, you don't have to be, because the moment is already over. Like, in other words, I think for normal people, non-eights.
Yeah.
When you go, oh, God, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, you're having a hard time. I think for me, 7 out of 10 moments, I'm going, ah! And then I'm not having a hard time.
Right.
This is not a thing you should know. And it's not a thing you're doing. This is a thing I run into regularly where people think I'm really going through it when I'm like,
yeah,
frustrated for a second. And for me, that gets frustrating. It's not your fault. It's just, it gets frustrating for me where I'm like, I wish I could tell the world they don't have to feel bad for me for having a moment because I'm good with it.
Right.
But I express things more than other people do. I say it out loud, whereas people inside are like, that was annoying. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
I'm like fucking doing it out loud like an ass.
Right. Well, I think you're pointing out something that's true for any type, Enneagram type, any processing mode, anything that the way we all interface with the world in a slightly different way is it can be fucking frustrating to not have people hear it the way you're saying it.
Correct.
And that's 90% of all of our communication is probably that.
I think that's right.
Like even what just happened with you and me, like it the notch turned up a little bit. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. It's like, no, I know that's not what we're saying because we can't be heard through the same lens that we're speaking.
Right. And that's why I explain it is to be like, hey, so what I'm saying is I want the freedom on earth and I don't know if I get to ever have it because people do not give it ever. And that's consistent across the board.
Right.
To be able to be frustrated for a millisecond and have it not be something people are worried about me for or feeling empathy about, where I'm like, there's no, it'd be like this. If I said, oh, this is delicious. And you were like, wow, I'm sorry. That's the experience you're having. I'd be like, it's literally an experience for a millisecond. And now it's not delicious because it's not in my mouth. But that's unique to me.
Right. Would you not want me to go, oh, that sounds delicious. I want to be part of that. So that's me engaging with your experience.
Yeah. I guess it's like empathy that isn't required is a different feeling than...
Feels like pity to you.
It feels like judgment to me. It feels like, let me think about it. Feels like you're empathizing with a non-problem. So you're making a thing for me that isn't a problem with feels like projection.
Right.
Not pity, projection. I feel like I'm being told that I should feel bad about the fact that I'm
sure.
Momentarily frustrated by nothing, which is my experience so often that I'm like, if only I could help people understand. I'm off-gassing. That's also a Christopher Huard's term. God, I hope there's some eights listening. There's five of us on the earth. Eights, if you're listening, I feel you. I love you. I really get it. We off-gas a lot out loud, and it's very understandably for other people seems like terrifying, scary, overwhelming.
Yeah.
And the only thing people know how to do is be like, God, I'm sorry. And we're like, why? And I've seen this with other eights. What? What are you sorry for? I'm just off-gassing. But nobody else off-gasses.
In that same way.
Not in that way.
Right. Yeah. And then you'll see that people who want to respond that way without, like, I don't want to get involved in your shit. I'm not trying to fix it. But I, you know, in so many other parts of my life am told and am requested that, like, no, all people need to do is to be heard. Like, that's a thing, right?
Right.
You know, I've finally gotten to the point where I'm not going to solve your problem. I'm not going to go like, oh, what can we do to make it better in your scheduling? Fuck that. I don't give a shit. I do care, but it's not my journey.
Uh-huh.
But I do want to just acknowledge that I heard you.
Right. I think there's a difference for me between acknowledging you heard it and empathizing with a thing that isn't a problem, which includes some projection.
Right, but
in it.
Yeah, and there's no way for me to know that's not a problem because you literally just told me it was a problem with your tone and energy.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I off-guessed. That's
right,
the whole
but
point
I'm all
making.
The rest of us in the world heard that as a problem, and that is what you just said.
That's not fair. Not all the rest of you.
Well,
other eights.
All but the eights. Sorry. All but the rest
but
of the eights.
But this is my point. You understand how my entire life, all day, every day, could grow to be frustrating that a lot of people think it's a problem what isn't a problem for us.
And you've said this already.
That's hard.
Yes. And can you also understand that it's hard?
Of course.
To be told you shouldn't care.
No, it's not you shouldn't care. That's not what I said.
But that's how I hear it.
Okay. But that's not what I said. I want you to just
But you
be
said
there.
Don't have empathy for this moment because it's not a problem.
That's right. Because what you said, we're going to go back. Let's take a breath.
I'm sorry.
What you said a second ago is you said you don't want me to acknowledge it. Everybody's telling me acknowledge. And I'm going, I agree with that. But acknowledging, if you go like, oh gosh, are you okay? That's different. And I would go, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just off gas or I'm just venting. But if you go, wow, I'm sorry, that's your experience right now. There is behind that a little bit of a something that isn't asking me what my experience is. It's assuming what my experience is, which is hard.
That's a very specific script you want people to run in response to your script.
You don't like being asked how is that for you rather than being told how it is?
Sure, that would be another alternative. But I guess I'm saying that like the way I said it wasn't full of soft voice empathy, but then that became the topic. So I'd be a little worried about walking into any, like I have to go, I have to like, oh wait, Katie's saying something. I hear you. Like,
that's not what I'm asking for.
I'm overstating the point, but like uh-huh. That's a really specific script you're asking to be run every time you off-gas.
Well, I think human beings in general do better when other people say to them, oh, how is that? Are you a question as opposed to a projected empathy statement doesn't always work.
Yeah.
I don't think that's such a specific script. I think generally, if you look at a moment, A lot of moments. People prefer to be like asked.
Whoa. Are you hearing like a radio signal?
No.
What the hell is that? Was the weirdest thing. I literally heard like FM radio coming in, like that was weird.
It's probably the universe being like, please stop talking about this.
This is a boring argument. You're not even arguing. Stop. No, I hear what you're saying.
That's the only, I don't, when you say that's a real specific script, it does make me feel like you're saying you don't get to get your needs met because it's so particular and you're so, like, you're so particular and controlling. And I'm like,
oh yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah. I'm just like, no, generally it is taught by everyone teaching everything everywhere about communication and empathy. Like, people want to be asked, wait, so what is your experience, as opposed to told and then responded to,
right?
Which I know you're coming from a good fucking place,
right?
You're not coming from anything other than trying to be a good guy. You're just trying to be a good guy.
I'm just trying to hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I wanted to somehow make that distinction point of like, hearing is different from empathizing with a thing that isn't a problem. But how are you supposed to know it isn't a problem until I tell you that?
Unless I, yeah, and like, then we get into this whole thing of like, in general, as you walk through the world interacting with people, like, I don't know you're an eight and that you need to off gas.
Of course. That's why I over communicate with people and go, hey, I'm going to vent for a second. Give me 1 second. Now, in this moment, I happen to just go, and then there was a whole narrative on me about, and that is frustrating to be projected on. Even if the way you're expressing a feeling generally for most people is like such a big deal. I also had a lot of caffeine.
Yeah.
And so my
You had a lot of caffeine. Because it's a lot for me. That's why I'm sorry. For my reasons, not yours.
My caffeine is a lot for you?
That was the joke.
Okay. Okay.
Those are jokes, people.
I did make extra. Like, let's acknowledge. Let me own. This is, I mean, we could fuel a rocket to Mars on this, what I made today.
What is it? It looks like watery milk, but I'm sure it's actually super intense.
I just went a little crazy today. I got, excuse my burps, fancy Cuban coffee that's like very finely.
Oh, yeah.
And I put a lot of it and then strainer and then, it's real good.
And a lot of like honey. What? How do you sweeten your shit? You're a honey person.
This is a very specific thing I've been doing lately. I do. It's very odd. Surprise, surprise. I do a little bit of dry creamer, like the powdered, terrible, made of all the hydrologized dumb things. Powdered creamer with a little bit of heavy whipping cream, with a little bit of honey and the Cuban coffee. So it's basically like Turkish coffee, but with some American flip. Cassidy, I love you a lot. And I know you're just trying to be my friend and be a nice man. I'm sorry. It's a thing I think I've been backed up on where I'm like,
yeah,
the whole world is constantly doing this. And I'm, to me and my experience, and I understand why, but it doesn't make it any easier for me. So I just had a moment where the whole history of everyone doing that got expressed in this conversation with you at you. So I love you and I'm sorry.
Well, mine's also coming from a place that also has a narrative behind it. Like I've been, so the thing I'll share about what's been going on for me, I'm actually great right now in a weirdly, I've noticed for like just the last like 5 days where I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm good. Like, and meanwhile, I'm noticing fucking everybody's having a bit of a fall apart around me. People close to me.
Okay.
Me, you know, this individual, all people that I care deeply about and want to like be there for. But here's the healthy part of that. I want to cheer myself, pat myself on the back. My journey, as we've all heard over the last 2.5 fucking years, 3 years, Jesus Christ, almost 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
I'm proud of us. High five for that. I love you. You're a good man.
I love you too. But my journey has been to not be codependent and not be enmeshed. One of my many journeys, as we all have, is to be able to
take it on for other people.
Take it on and get involved with it because no one's asking me to. But that's my like I'm a solid three, and I think no, I'm a two wing. I definitely have a two wing, and that sort of caretaker two wing really. That's the unhealthy wing, you know, I think. And what I've noticed over the last week or so, it was like like one person was having a real hard time and they're like, God, I'm always having a hard time. And I feel like, you know, that I'm going to drain you. And I was like, you know, and it's unbalanced. And I said, would you rather I fall apart so it's balanced? No.
Right. Like, that's good.
You don't need that. And they were like, oh yeah, you're right. That's fine. And I was like, in this moment, I'm fine with it. I'm okay to be here for you because I'm not putting my little taser claws into it. I'm just going, oh shit. And so like, even what I was saying is coming from that mode though of like, okay, someone's having a hard time. And so I assumed you were having a hard time and I projected that onto you because everybody else is.
Oh.
So I wanted to just go, sorry, that's your experience. That's it. Like,
I'm out.
I'm out, but I'm not
in.
Oh, I'm not reaching in and like massaging your heart and connecting our hearts together so that mine gets sucked dry from the reverse vacuum that's occurring. Nah, I'm just like, oh, I got you.
Yeah.
And in your case, you know, it wasn't, you didn't even need an I gotcha.
Well, I wanted it a different way, but you can't read my mind.
I can't read your mind. But just wanted to report that idea that I'm enjoying how not to be enmeshed with the world included, because it's fucked up still. Ain't getting better.
Yeah.
But, you know, and enjoying my day-to-day shit, you know.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. So.
Healthiness.
I don't know what I'm doing to make that happen, and it'll change next week.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's just the fucking astrology, like the transits.
This moment's a good space for me. I'm strong. So I can be there for other people because I am strong right now.
I totally get that.
But don't drain me.
Ah!
Don't try me.
Bitch, don't take my fucking life force because I took it back for myself.
Two more people just got COVID. Feet Firsters got COVID. And so we're fucking running on fumes right now with staffing and our buddy. B, I'm just putting
no!
it in. Finally, he fell. He was one of the last to fall.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
What a poo. I love you, B.
Yeah.
I feel better.
Different people got it for different reasons, too. Like, he got it from someone from working with someone on an event who had gotten it in life.
That sucks.
So now I'm like, I don't want to work with anybody either because they're all going to bring it to me. God damn it.
Question. What do we know about the current strain? And then I want to do more acknowledging of you for your good work that you got to where you are with that. Really? No, it's really good. Really, though, this is a thing like, it's always like hard to confront your shit. And then after you confront it, then you're not done. Then you have to like do stuff about it.
You have to practice it.
You did both.
Yay.
And you're succeeding. It's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, you're a ninja.
No, it's good. And it's good for us to also know that we can do that. Like, let's, to all of us out there who are three with a two wing, you know,
yeah.
I want to be recognized for being a good helper.
Oh my God. It's so good.
Wow. That made me cough. I hadn't thought of it that way.
You know, that's so funny because the other day when I feel into like how critical I can get of everyone else's type strategy defenses, the other day I was in like a Walmart or like a, no, it was a, what's that store? The Marshalls.
Uh-huh.
And some fucking interaction happened, Cassidy, where I almost cut the head off of a nice old lady because I perceived her to be disrespecting me, which is the eight thing of like, when we feel like we're not being respected, we go, I'm sorry, vengeance, murder, immediately.
Yeah.
It was like, it could not have been a smaller moment and I could not have been overreacting more. And I caught it in the moment. I didn't act on any of it. I just felt it all and wanted to vengeance her, but I didn't do it. So, but I thought inside myself, bitch, when you get cranky about other people's type strategies, remember this moment where you wanted to kill an old woman
for
shuffling by you in the shoe aisle wrong, like over the top reaction. And I can be, and like, I could kill an old lady.
Yeah.
I could go to jail forever for my fucking way that my type is. Speaking of which, so that's just, I love you and I love me and we're all doing our best.
Trying to get through it all.
Can I just tell you, side note, on that point, unless, are we complete there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Love you. We have a buddy. I'm going to keep the details a little foggy, but we have a buddy in this improv world, not an improviser, but friend of the team. Oh, this makes me sad just talking about it, but it's good. This is a good topic, I think. Someone who works in the space, but isn't an onstage person, who's just adored by all of us. Nice dude, super, happens to be like super gorgeous, like just a handsome ass motherfucker that we always make fun of from stage. We're like, check, talk to the pretty guy when you need that. You know, we tease him a lot for because he's so hot. You have to.
I think you'll know who he is if he's listening at this point.
Yeah, probably. He knows and he's okay with it. It's more, I'm just keeping it a little.
Right.
Anyway, he, and also, you know what? I'll check with him after this conversation and be sure we don't have to cut this, but I'm 90% sure we don't, but I will check with him. Thank you for pointing that out. A couple of years ago, he was with a woman. I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. He was married to the mother of his children. He has 3 kids with this woman. He comes home. She's in bed with another guy. He freaks out. He takes his gun out and says, you better get out of my house. The guy gets out of his house. End of story. The police are called. They get divorced. He and the woman, he doesn't have a gun anymore. Never drinks again. Becomes a model father. Apologizes to everyone. They all go their separate ways. He thinks end of story. Cut to 5, 6 years later. He's now being taken to court about it. They like later were like, by the way, assault and you should go to jail. And so he's facing 15 years prison time. And tomorrow, is today Monday? Yeah. Tomorrow he finds out. He goes to court to find out if he's going to jail for 15 years or 12 years. Yeah. And meanwhile, if you imagine his situation, he very much owns it was not okay what he did. He also, it's been 6 years and he fully changed his life because of this moment. And is a good dad and all he wants is to be there for his kids. And like everyone at the theater loves him. And we're just like, what? You? What? So we all were like, how can we help? What can we do? And we, a bunch of us wound up writing letters. You could write a letter on his behalf, right? And give it to his lawyer. And he's got people like flying in from out of state to testify for him. Oh, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah, it's super intense.
So, you know, I write him this like glowing, fancy, articulate letter. And the lawyer writes me back immediately and is like, thank you, Jesus. Wow. If this doesn't get him off, nothing will. And I'm like, I am a little theatrical. So, but Jason is the best guy in the history of time. You know, we're going to bleep his name, bleep that name.
Boop.
Anyway, so that's happening. And it's really like in my heart and in the hearts of all of us at the theater, just sort of holding space. We're all just like you'll run into someone and they'll be like, hey, did you hear about Jason? Like, fucking, maybe he's going to. Yeah, I wrote a letter to his lawyer. Did you write it? We did. Everybody's talking about it because it's so intense.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about, well, before I even get esoteric with it, one other quick side thing that I want to hear your thoughts is, you remember the stalker guy in Colorado for me and how he has to pay restitution. So he's been sending like the court, he pays the court pays me this money for like his bad behavior. So these checks stopped coming. And I checked in with the court the other day, a few weeks ago, maybe. And I was like, hey, so I noticed those checks aren't coming. What's going on? And they were like, yeah, we've been in touch with him. He's getting fined every time he doesn't pay you. And there's interest on top of the fine.
Jesus.
So he's just accruing more that he owes you, but he has let us know he can't pay it right now.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. I don't know. So just like court things are sort of in the air. I mean, like, as far as that thing goes, I'm just like, whatever. I have no control. I'm not like going to bat on that one. I don't give a fuck. It was like blood money that it's gross anyway, but like, I'll take it. But like, if you can't pay it, I'd take my hands off the wheel of that one personally. But that's just the two things this week where I was like, weird courts, the courts, and like just thinking about consequences to our actions. And then to get esoteric with it, it makes me think about when you look at your design, human design style, or if you look at your astrology, this shit is in the design and in the astrology. Like I've probably told the story on here before of how, what's the shortest version of this? Bottom line, like a Vedic astrologer could look at Jason, fake name, Jason's astrology and be like, oh, let's see, in this month of this year, there was a court decision that changed your life one way or the other. So I hear stories like this, and part of me is just like, how do we change it? What do we do? How can we help? And another part of me is like, oh, I wonder what that is in his chart.
Yeah.
Like that was gonna happen.
Yeah, in some form. So our way, our what we are able to take from that sort of astrology or guidance, or if we do cards or any of these guidance things, is how is help in navigating that.
Correct.
Right. That's the value of knowing about it is being able to help navigate it. As otherwise, if it feels just like, well, it's fated, you're going to jail because your card said so, then that doesn't feel good, but or useful or in any way a thing.
Except, well, for me, I think what I'm getting at is that sometimes for me, it does feel good. Like for me, if I looked back at my astrology, I'll give you a real life example. When I worked with this Vedic astrologer once, a bunch of times, this one guy, he was able to say to me, in this month of this year, you had a traumatizing event that sent you to the hospital, didn't you? And I was like, yes. And then he was like, and your mother was like this and your father was like that. And that created these four problems, didn't it? And I was like, yes. To me, that was incredibly helpful to retroactively see that those things they were gonna occur. Because it takes the, what did I do wrong out of it?
Yeah.
It takes, I'm not at fault. I'm not creating my reality in a fucked way. Some things are going to occur to deepen us into ourselves and right. to teach us things. Now, that's not fun times, but it's teaching times, which is like the whole thing about wisdom that people don't like is wisdom is only gained through, going through shit. You don't get to be like, I'm wise because people handed me what I wanted. Although, I guess to be fair.
Isn't that kind of what happens with like the Dalai Lama? Like, groomed and raised from birth.
Fair enough.
And given everything in order to attain wisdom. But that's a different type of path.
That's a good point. And I was about to even just counter my own thing and say, except I have met some people who are like super kind and wise and they were well-parented and had all the money.
Have you met anybody like that?
I have.
Oh.
I have a person in mind. Oh, you.
Do you?
Are we talking about you?
That was my joke. Yes. I don't have all the money, but I have everything else. And actually, I have plenty of money. And it's like, that's the thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about people where you meet them and your first experience of them and throughout knowing them is like, they are wise and whole and I want to learn from them.
Right.
And like, they feel like someone you look up to and they had everything given to them.
Yeah. So they are almost like a semi-ascended being.
Kinda.
And they didn't go through the struggle.
Yep. I'm thinking of an older white guy I know, who we should hate him already. And he's like a high...
Who had everything handed to him. So even more reason.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And he's like one of the CEOs at a corporate place where I did some public speaking training. And there were all these CEOs, because it's like a huge corporation where there's a bunch of CEOs, which I don't understand. I thought there was only one CEO.
I don't know.
But I guess within this corporation, there are different businesses.
Are they C-level? Is that what they called them? Were they C-level? They were CTOs and CFOs and C-fuckos and C...
Fuck your dickos. Yeah, no, this was CEO because it stood out to me and I thought, how can there be six CEOs?
You can have multiple chief executive officers of the same organization.
I think there were like businesses within the business.
Ah, right. They're the CEOs of the subheadings.
Yeah, or that arm or whatever. Anyway, this guy, I just loved this guy and everyone who met him loved him. He was sincere and charming, funny and sensitive, gave a shit and effective, on top of his game, but merciful, boundaried, but kind. He was everything. And I was there. This was actually, oh, I know what this was. You know what this was? This was that job. Jesus Christ. Were you on this job where a bunch of speechless people went to Vegas?
I've been to a Vegas one, but not the one you were at, I think.
Okay. And I happened to be in Vegas at the same time with the speechless people on a different job, not with speechless.
Right. No, I wasn't at that one.
This was that gig. And it was a very sweet gig. And this guy was the coolest guy I've ever fucking met. So then one day I was like, I got to know his story. Did he was he in a prison camp? Did he get beaten by, rapist people when he was 9? No. We had lunch one time and I was like, so where are you from? Tell me all about you. And he did. And he was like, oh, my parents are wealthy and they were in the finance industry. My mom was so nurturing and loving. And then I went to Harvard. And then And I was like, and he just like described a yellow brick road experience. And I was like, huh, huh. So I even asked him, how did you get to be so even keeled and like humble? You seem to have a humility about you that a lot of people in your position wouldn't have. And he was like, you know what? All I can do is like be grateful to my parents on that one. And like, I just really like scored and lucked out in the game of life. I mean, I can't take credit for it, but you got to celebrate and enjoy what you have. And I was like, this guy, this fucking guy has it all.
Wow.
Anyway, so I can think of one person. So there goes my theory. But certain kinds of wisdom are won through hardship, pain, suffering, but I guess they don't have to be.
Yeah.
We can.
Oh, you mean there's different paths to all the different things?
What?
For different types of people and different people individually?
No. There's only me.
There we go again. Wait, how should I react to that? I hear the words you are saying. I hear that you have suffered.
No.
And I'm not sorry that you suffered.
No expression. I am neutral on your suffering and aware of it at the same time.
I simultaneously receive it and pass it through it like a clear glass of water. I shit it out like I did a colon prep drink. Just clear without judgment.
I psychically know what you desire and correctly articulate it now.
I psychically intuit how you would like me to respond to what you just gave me. Go.
I appropriately respond to your psychic awareness and respond with appropriate, compassionate, merciful, correct, perfect behaviorings.
Mildly amused acknowledgement.
We're doing great.
Love the world. Hey, just so you know, if you'd like, we have at least one email in the email that is a response to one of our readings. It was not the last one we did, but the one before that. But that's fine.
Is it the fated meeting one?
No, it's the one about that had the scribe, the king of forces, and
the fated meeting. That one has a fated meeting, didn't it? Remember, it was like you're gonna. There's a fated meeting, and there's karma.
But I feel like that was the one we just did.
Okay.
And then there was one before that. Yeah, because this email came in like.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh, this was only about a week ago. Yeah, so maybe. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I'm just abrupt, hard right, but...
I'm ready.
Let's do it, because we got to go in a half hour.
What's up, everybody? Rami here. I took a falconry class a few days ago on a beautiful cliff in La Jolla, California. And I just want to share this one thing from the class. First of all, it was amazing. We worked with two different birds. A falcon, I can't remember what it's called, something that begins with an L, the type of falcon. And a Harris hawk, which was just magnificent. Magnificent! Anyway, there was one moment where the falconer was saying, their world is just bigger than ours. They can see 6 miles away. They can see you well from 6 miles away. There was a moment where the falcon was doing a certain behavior, which honestly just looked like anything else. I didn't see any difference. But the falconer said, oh, she's a little nervous right now. There's probably a hawk over there on that ridge. The hawk's probably looking at her. She's looking at it. I'm like, wow. Which also brings up the point that these birds, these humans, these falconers and hawkers, I don't know what you call someone who works with a hawk, also a falconer, birder, raptorer. Anyway, they know their birds so well. Oh, they're not their birds. They're wild birds. The birds only stick around because they have a good working symbiotic relationship with the human. The moment the human doesn't appear to be useful to them, they're out of there. There's nothing keeping them. And the bird is the alpha in the relationship. They hunt together. And the human provides some really useful services to the bird. So the humans know their place, know that they're the beta in the situation. They might go into it having some kind of fantasy, but then they pretty quickly learn who they actually are to the bird. Ah, anyway, it was a great, great time. Rami's rules.
I'm just going to read it verbatim, and I can say the person's name. We know them, so it's fine. Carolina Morones, who was our very first question ever, not live, but
full circle.
So she helped launch the podcast, so we're grateful to her for that. So, and she has specific questions / thoughts about each card and would like clarification if you have that ability. So it's that deck if you want to have that available to you. First off, she said, the scribe, and this is her saying what she felt, feeling the call to continue study and am thinking of healing spiritual path, but unclear of the direction. I currently teach acting as well as consulting in areas of education and engagement for theater and have a commission to write a play, which is exciting. Very first commission ever to write a play.
Aw, good for her.
That's a big deal.
Big deal.
The areas of interest that have been consistently coming up for me are 1, archetypes and sacred contracts with a focus on divination. 2, total shift of change, neuroplasticity and somatic movement.
Mm.
And 3, something around healing via dreams. I want to put a pin in that and say we should have her on the podcast sometime just to describe some of her dreams. They're insane.
I can't wait.
Oh my God. They're the most spirit journey dreams I've ever heard. Another thought is I'm just doing too much already and just need to focus on what I have at hand. So that is her question about how the scribe might apply to her.
Okay.
You want to keep, I'll keep going and then we'll respond to all of it.
Let's keep going and then we'll go back one at a time.
Okay.
Because I already get some info about all of it. Okay.
I love it. King of Forces. When a card like this is pulled, we talked about this when it came up. Is the, quote, man spoken of literally a man?
Right.
Or a person of any gender with the energy or essence described? Should this be taken literal?
I got it. I got that one. Mm-hmm. I have the answer there.
Okay, great. And then the third chunk says the nature part resonates with me. I guess the third card was a nature card, but I don't remember what it was. We'd have to go back and listen.
Okay.
Resonates with me because I'm part of a land and housing cooperative, and we are currently at a crossroads as a group, especially around a land acquisition proposal. There's a lot of uncertainty within this group at this moment, especially a feeling of being stuck. How can we move this energy forward?
Mm.
And most of the time, I'm so challenged by the uphill road we face that I question whether I have veered too far out of what I am called to do, because I love the vision of a truly cooperative future. But has she pulled herself off her own path through her engagement with this cooperative?
Or is the cooperative your house?
No.
Okay.
It's an active, like, it's a cooperative of, like, artists and vendors and folks who make or build things, but also people who are involved with housing. And they're trying to get a piece of land and make a building that could operate as something or make a retreat. And the problem is there's too many directions that they're going with what they should be doing.
Okay.
So that's it. That's the whole email.
All right, let's go back to the first one, and I'm going to respond to everything psychically that I get out the gates, and then if I have to, I may open the records on that last thing.
So the scribe, just wondering, I think she's just sort of wondering if she's spreading her all of her ideas in too many directions, but that she has 3 specific areas of interest, and should she just focus on what she has at hand or keep grabbing for more?
Okay, I have a hit on this, which is, when the scribe shows up, it's often like you're studying, you're learning, you're taking it all in. And that's okay. Like, in other words, not to narrow it down, because now is a time of pulling it all in. You're at the desk. There's many books open. You're taking it all in. That's like intuitively what I get there. Let's read it, though. Here's the card. The learned scribe writes at a high desk. Nearby are a number of other working scribes. In some ancient societies, scribes were simply copiers of holy texts. But in many, they were the most learned men of their time, people well-versed in law, scripture, philosophy, history, and more. This card indicates a great upsweep in mind and study for you. If there is any subject with which you'd like to acquaint or reacquaint yourself, do so. It's not just for the sake of study, although that's always a good thing. This period of higher mind and higher learning is nothing less than a change your life or even change the world journey and opportunity. Just as the Wright brothers began by studying the flight patterns of birds, you can rise up on the wings of discovery now. There may be a teacher or even an entire school that can help you with this upliftment. Be sure to seek out the right person or place of learning. You could also become a writer or teacher yourself at this time. Hmm. Isn't she a playwright?
Well, she is now. Yeah, she will be.
Well, it says you could also become a writer or teacher yourself at this time, elevating and contributing to others. If you're involved in any legal matters, there's a person who can help you with this. Let your great vision guide you to him or her. Does she have any legal stuff going on? With the collective and the third part?
Maybe with the co-op, there would be legal contracts okay. And shit like that.
Let your great vision guide you to him or her, the person who can help with it. This could also be a time when you might find yourself writing proposals, grants, essays, blogs, articles, or books, or plays. Notice what compels you and be sure to answer the call. Yeah, so it's like...
Right. So that's her question, is about the call.
Right, but I think what I'm hearing her say, you might have to read it again so I get it correctly, but she's called towards all of this. And so if you're whatever you're called to, answer the call. Think of it as you're in school, you're gaining a lot of education. You don't have to throw any of it away in terms of what you're taking in. Now, in terms of what you're putting out, you can only put so much out, right? There's a limited amount of hours in a day, and we each have a limited amount of focus and energy in ourselves. So
yeah,
that's where it comes to. Although I get a no on that, because they're like, that's not the point right now. The point for her is take it all in, let it all ingest, let it come in. And that's what this recent past moment has been about. That takes us to the present moment card. So what is she?
Which is King of Forces.
And she says, what about that again?
She just wondered about the literalness of it, how literal to take it. Is it an actual man walking towards her to say, I am the man?
Right. It can be. It often is. But it also is metaphoric. So these cards are always meant to be like, you got to sit with the energy of, is this the masculine element in me? Is this an actual human man that I know? Is this the masculine element in a non-human man? Is this the masculine element in a human but non-male presenting? Like, you got to ask, because it's absolutely metaphoric, but it can be literal. So you kind of have to look around your life and ask, okay, is this card referring to that guy? Is this card referring to an aspect of me? So in her case, let's see. Okay, in her case, I get that this is an aspect of herself. In fact, okay, having pulled all this information in and having been doing all this study and all this learning and all having all these interests and all the info about it coming in, this part of self, the directive, linear, we're going to do this, this, and this now part, aka the masculine element, not gender, element, is required and activated at this time to get you moving forward with clarity and specificity. So that's what this card is for her in this moment.
So there's not going to be necessarily somebody coming in to do that for her. It's her tapping into that person in herself.
Yeah, kind of like choosing to be directive and focused and action oriented.
Great. Do you want to just briefly read King of Forces again, just to say, like, I think you just described what the King of Forces pretty much says, though, didn't you?
Probably.
Is there anything that more detail we should give the listeners on that?
Let's see. Okay. A man standing by a stream is surrounded by different animals of the woods. The power of nature is all around him, in the earth below his feet, the water running by. Oh, this is the nature part, too.
Right.
And the star-filled nebula in the sky above. Yet he is a force himself, exerting calming influences on the wolf and the rabbit, which are natural enemies. Upright, this card indicates the presence of a man, or the metaphoric energy of a man, or masculine energy, who has a powerful and positive energy. He comes with good intentions. Gentleness and honesty resonate from him. If you don't know this man yet, his energy will be coming into your life soon. He could bring support for a special project, a work issue, or just your life in general. He may also be a possible love interest. So in order to be open to receiving a man of honor, make sure you engage in honoring and being tender toward yourself. For you or a man around you, there could be a position coming in any of the careers natural to the King of Forces, such as electron, blah, 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 blah.
All right. And that's when it got into a little more technology and building and...
Yeah.
Which was interesting, but...
Whether you are male or female, this also reveals an important side of yourself. Feel the balance and beauty of nature and know the powerful forces always moving within and around you. And any activity connecting with earth energy and nature are beneficial to you at this time.
Great.
It's kind of like with these cards, what the authors are doing is they're like, here's everything about this energy that could be what this is about. So you kind of have to pick and choose and go, well, what resonates?
Right. You have to ask yourself, what is it?
Yeah. What resonates for me is the nature part. So that's all that matters. It doesn't have to be word for word, every particular piece of it, you know?
Well, that's interesting because she just shared with me this long thing that she got from another podcast about living in the question rather than seeking the answer.
Yeah, that's the business.
And that was just an interesting conversation to have. Yeah.
And that brings up the thing of the human design thing, the language of it is you live in the question and you become a, you start to become a decision watcher instead of a decision maker.
Whew, that sounds hard, terrifying, and counter to everything we have to do to navigate this stupid structure that we exist in.
And that's why people don't evolve, is because it sounds hard and counter to everything.
Yeah.
And like, it is counter to what you're programmed to believe you have to do to live in this 3D structure. But I can say, I mean, decision watching, I think for me, because I don't have the luxury of clean sacral response, I have the emotional wave. I have to wait so long.
You have to live in the decision without, or in the question.
And decision watching is such a helpful framing because it takes the pressure off of me to be like, what's the right thing to do? It's like, I'm watching myself go through the up. I think this today, I feel that tomorrow. I think this now, I feel that now. I just watch that happen. And then one day it ends. And then I go, oh, hey, I'll be doing this. And the whole thing is much more mellow and less. Now I decide to do this because I should, which is conditioning. Anyway, I love it. They call it passenger consciousness, where you watch your decisions get made through you as opposed to decide with your mind to make one, you know?
Yeah.
And then was there a third part to what she said?
It had to do with this collective, and they're at such a crossroads of all the different options that they should be doing. And there's a bit of a conflict. I know this personally. I'm reading into this because I know there's, you know, there's disagreement within the collective as to what to do next. And
what's her question?
Her question is, there's a lot of uncertainty. They're at a crossroads, specifically around a land acquisition proposal, that there's a piece of land that they're trying to decide whether they should try and buy it. It's 3 hours away. I do know that from here. And there's a real stuckness in the group, you know, about how to move the energy forward.
Okay.
And has she veered too far out of what she's called to do? Because she loves the vision of the cooperative, of the idea of a cooperative future, has she allowed it to pull herself off, I think?
Okay. That's the part I needed to come back to. Yeah. No, she has not allowed that to take her to... No, she's doing great on that. And there's actually even like encouragement to lean in even more. Trust your vision. You're here. She's got a lot of collective circuitry to serve the collective. It's part of your makeup. It's correct for you. Now, is it in this collective's highest good to purchase this land? Not now. Will it ever be? I don't think so. Is there going to be a different property that would be way better? Yes. So if they can be patient and look, is there a reason that this... No.
No, that just I mean, that would be what I would have just said from my own...
Yeah.
My own wisdom. Intuition is like, oh yeah, not this piece. No. Why are you guys? And she agrees. I 100% know that all you're doing is reinforcing what she already knows.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. Good.
But it's good to hear it, that it's also backed by the guys.
Totally. 1,000,000%. Yeah. That's a big, no need to rush this one kind of energy, because there's going to be something way better.
That she stay engaged with this collective is still being asked of her.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I mean, it's encouraged. It's a big yes. It's like, is it this particular collective? Yeah, it's still good.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
Is she having a hard time with that group?
Sure. It's fucking work. This shit's hard. This shit is hard.
Yes.
Look, being part of a 3-person improv collective is hard.
1,000,000%. I mean, I think any individual romantic relationship is hard. Just one other human.
And that's a collective in theory.
Yes. So like now you're in a collective of humans?
Oh, God. No. I mean, it's why a really awesome improv and sketch group I was part of, Crisis Hopkins, we collapsed under the weight of our own democracy. Like, it was, we probably would have been better off ultimately with a benevolent dictator, someone who is like, I'm directing this troupe. You guys are amazing performers. Here's what we're doing.
Yep.
But because we're in a collective mindset, which is great, you know, we're creative. We're all working together to create this idea. You can do it for a little while, but it ultimately it just goes, Jesus Christ, I can't do this anymore. Just tell me what to do.
Yeah, that's my thing. I'm not into collectives. I don't think they work really well. But well, I you're like innate. The idea. It's true. But to be fair, I mean, for years I was really into them and I liked them and I explored it and I played with it and I thought I'd live on one.
Yeah.
And then for me, I just came to like, I just don't believe in it anymore in practicality. I believe in it very much in the abstract.
Yeah.
In a theoretical way. Yes, please. In this reality, however, it doesn't seem to work.
No. The same thing happened to my parents when they finally got involved with the co-housing, which is a similar to like a collective. It's a, you know, big piece of land with a bunch of houses on it and there's collective space and it's a, you know, it's like a non-commune commune. Co-housing, right? And they were so excited. It had been their lifelong dream. And they bought into it and they built a house on this land in Colorado and, oh, so involved. And then they lived there for like a year and a half. And then they were like, oh, no. This is not what I want. And no shade on any of the people. Like, they're great. It was, you know, some challenging humans, but it wasn't like anybody did anything wrong. It was just like, oh, no, this is not. Yeah, in practice, it's really hard.
I guess I would say this. I think it's a thing that you can do if your goal is not to create products of any kind or like create anything. If you're looking to live, you can certainly live collaboratively. But the second there's like things that need to be built, like or made or sold. I don't know that.
It's hard. It's hard.
It doesn't seem to work. I don't know. Maybe there's, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see an example of where it's working in terms of like selling a thing or having a business. Maybe it's, I haven't run into it yet.
I don't know. I don't like to work.
But to the, me either. To the same point though, to go against myself, we could say, you know, you could make that argument about, and I've tried on both directions about polyamory.
Yeah.
In a way, polyamory is a collective experience.
Absolutely. And there are people who'd be like, I do not have the bandwidth. No fucking way.
Yeah.
And I get it.
But it is working for some people.
Yeah. It's working for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, I have the patience for it. I love it. But
yeah,
I get, I have no shade on, like, I feel like I have seen some like poly folk who are like, have disdain for anybody who can't accept it or understand it. You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
Shit's not easy. Nothing's easy. It's just another complication in a complicated world.
Totally. And you either, you know, either want that complication or you don't.
You're wired for it or you're not. There you go. I talk about human design, like wired for it. That's the term we've used for a long time. And I think that's basically the same terminology.
Yep.
I love it. Well, cool. Thank you. I'm glad. Hey, by the way, that's because somebody emailed us. And if you are interested in responding to anything we've said and have further questions, we will skip occasional letters. Don't feel bad if we do. You know, some of them just don't land in the way in the moment. We've had a few letters that we didn't address, but, you know, try. Put it out there.
We should go back and if we've skipped any, I'd be happy to get to them.
Okay. I'll forward you some again that we didn't do on the podcast.
All right. I'm happy to get. Let's try to get to them.
But allanswerspod@gmail.com. Allanswerspod@gmail.com. Allanswerspod. Did you hear? Remember? I think we should share with the Woo crew our current ratings.
Oh.
Our world standings as a podcast.
Okay. I'm ready.
I think it's hysterical. Let me pull it up. Apparently, we are number in podcasts. We are number one in the spirituality section in Belize. So if you are a woo-woo person in Belize, we are your number one podcast.
That's because of Jamie Vega. She lives in Belize and we have one listener there and she's the only one voting.
Damn it. Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's too funny. But we're 48th for all podcasts anywhere in Belize.
Oh, Jamie's got a powerful sway.
500,000 people live in Belize, so.
That's how powerful Jamie Vega is.
Yeah. We're also 45 in spirituality in Austria.
45.
That's pretty good. Because there's probably...
How many are there?
Well, if you go like on Apple Podcasts and just go on the spirituality section, thousands.
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 Okay.
So 45 in, even if it's in Austria, but it's a narrower band, but like they have thousands to pick from in Austria.
What I like about that is I can't think of who I know in Austria. So I'm like, well, cool. How'd that happen?
Or we have a bunch of people who are using like VPNs that are routed through Austria.
Weird. It could be.
And then I think that's it. 45 in spirituality on the Austrian church, but number one in spirituality in Belize, because there's only one podcast, one spirituality podcast listened to in Belize, and it's by our friend Jamie Vega.
Yeah. And there's also, I mean, how many?
We got to up those numbers, people. Call your friends.
Yeah. Listen.
Anybody else got friends in Belize?
Listen to us. Tell your friends. I don't know.
If you are a listener in Belize that is not Jamie Vega, please send us an email so we know.
That would be really cool. It'd be cool if it turned out there's 500 people in Belize who are like, you guys are the best.
Yeah, every single one of you who listens to us in Belize, including Jamie Vega, you need to let us know.
Email us.
Because we need to know how real this is.
We love you. You're the best, Cass. Thanks for starting late and being patient with me on that. And thanks for tolerating all the things you tolerate. You're a gem.
All good. I love you to pieces, Katie, and I miss you. I got to come to Florida sometime soon.
Come hang out. Come see some improv. Come guest. Come guest on a show.
That would be amazing. Yeah. If you're listening to this on Saturday, you can come see me perform with Mortified. I'm doing the Mortified script thing with our buddy Scott Lifton.
Yes.
I mean, if you're listening to this on Saturday, you got to go that night. Because it's this coming weekend, the, whatever that is, the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th.
Where's the info people can get?
Just mortified.com, probably, or Mortified SF, I'm going to assume. Just okay. Google Mortified San Francisco or Mortified Oakland. Oakland Saturday night.
Boom.
Yeah, come see it. It'll be fun.
You're my favorite. I love you. Do your work.
Love you to pieces. Bye.
Bye. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Boop.